Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly podcast where we dissect and discuss the best league in the galactic universe. Yes, I said galactic. I'm your host, Wahaj, and with me today, like every week, it's Richard.
The whole universe.
And Kevin.
Hello, world.
And also a special shout out, because I feel like we don't do that enough, our producer Mike, who makes everything happen.
He's amazing.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs. So in this episode, we're going to talk about, obviously, the playoffs. We're going to discuss the draft lottery. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about all the coaching changes happening right now, right, left, and center. And then we're going to play our favorite game, What's Weirder? All right. So you guys want to start off with the draft lottery?
Yes.
Because it just happened.
Yes.
Fresh off the mark.
Always exciting.
So what did you like about it? What are the takes?
It was poorly produced, but it was an interesting draft lottery, to say the least.
Kevin's first comment is like, production was horrible.
Let me lead it with that one there. All right.
Did anything stand out to you?
The fact that the Kings hit several game winners that they wish they could take back, and they still landed with the number two draft pick. I think that's very interesting.
Wow.
Okay. My takeaway was similar in that the reported argument between a team owner and coach, which was supposedly Budenholzer and the Hawks, ended up with them getting the third pick anyway. And now he, as we will talk about, has found a new home elsewhere.
I think tanking will backfire if not done right. That's what I picked up from this. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. Memphis did it.
Yeah.
Dallas did it openly.
Yes.
Hello, Mark Cuban. So if you're not doing it right, like Sam Hinkie did, you're not going to get what you exactly wanted. Because, I mean, it just doesn't work like that. The numbers don't go in your favor. It's just, in my opinion, it's just not worth it.
For sure.
I mean, you know, if you look at Chicago, who's in desperate need of really a franchise player, is all the way down to number seven. So, I mean, what is anything really happening to make these teams take a leap in the next year or so? Probably not.
And the odds get worse, I believe.
Next year?
Yeah. The worst team in the league, I think the max they can get is 12.5% chance at the one pick. So it's interesting.
Down from 25, that's a significant drop.
Yeah.
Cut it right in half.
But as you were saying before we started recording, this year's draft is... it's a good one to be the last sort of tankathon, because apparently it's quite loaded, and I'm still needing to brush up on the picks, but...
You know, I mean, there's really generational talent, but also at the same time, if you don't get the top two, top three, it's not a significant drop-off, but I still think it's going to be a drop-off enough where you're not getting a franchise player, you're getting a star player,
yeah,
possibly developing into a star player, but
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a franchise player. Because Luka Doncic, he's a franchise player.
Oh, I'm very excited.
So if you're not the Kings, if you're not the Suns, you know, it's looking like not so much of a win right now for them. That's my take on this.
No doubt. I still think there's some interesting prospects going from 3, even through 10, maybe through the lottery. I really think it comes down to how they develop. You may not see, you know, their upside in their first 1-2 years, but I feel like some of these guys, we're going to be talking about them in years to come.
Is anybody that you guys are excited for as a team, just to see them in the top 5 or to see them being able to draft a guy who could change their future in the long run or in the near future?
I'm gonna start it off and just say the Kings, because I've had a soft spot for them when Boogie was there, and it was exciting to see them hit those game winners and to sort of teach their young guys winning. And so I'm kind of curious if, because Doncic is projected to go there, and we'll see if that ends up happening, and I'm excited to kind of see if that works out.
I think if they draft Aiden with De'Aaron Fox, those pick and rolls are going to be something to watch. So I'm excited to see Aiden go to the Kings more than Doncic, because I think the Suns need a guy who's a playmaker.
Yes, they do.
They do. So
if
that ends up happening, I'm going to be really excited, because I want to see De'Aaron Fox with just a solid big.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody you're excited for, Kevin?
Let me just come out and say the Dallas Mavericks, even though they have the number 5 pick, I'm really interested in Mohamed Bamba as a prospect, and I think he might just fall to five, where Dallas currently stands. And I mean 7'10" measured wingspan at the draft combine, which is the largest wingspan we've seen there. The last record was set by Gobert with 7'8.5" wingspan. And I don't know. I'm really excited to see where that guy goes and how he develops.
Are those agent numbers, his wingspan, or is that like from a workout measurement?
No, this is the draft combine, so okay. they're measured.
Okay.
Like, you know how Kevin Durant always lists himself as like 6'10"?
Yeah, and Steve Kerr is like 6'2".
Fred VanVleet's 6 feet.
Yeah.
Sixth man of the year.
I think as a Dallas fan, I'm excited that Mo Bamba is a prospect hopefully he's still available at number five, because Dallas really needs a big like that. They need a defensive big.
I'm excited for you guys, man. I want to see Dennis Smith and Mo Bamba run some pick and rolls.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm not getting too excited, so I'm going to pump the brakes here and temper my expectations.
Don't count the chickens before they hatch, right?
Yes, yeah. That's very true.
I hear you.
Speaking Raptors of all the chickens going everywhere, what did you guys think about all the new coaching changes? Everyone's getting fired.
I don't know how to feel.
I love it, personally. I partially, you know, because as we will discuss, there are a few, one exception that I'm tepid about, but for the most part, I think regime change is good. Everyone loves workplace drama. It's good for the... It's also in a league that changes so much. I think I was discussing with Michael beforehand that, you know, a coach's lifespan is really, you know, according to Larry Bird, only like three years or so, right? So sometimes you really just got to change it up and get a new direction.
Right.
So which team needed it the most? Let's start with you, Kevin.
I would have to say the Bucks, and I think they did really well to get a guy like Coach Bud. He's a 17-year Spurs assistant, and Giannis may have not seen, you know, some of the best coaching throughout his years, and I think Bud brings something different to the table. I'm excited to see how that team develops.
I think Budenholzer needs to get something out of the rest of the roster, mm-hmm. because Giannis is already there. Giannis is going to develop and get better, but Bud needs to awaken the other players, like Bledsoe and, you know, Middleton has been performing.
Yeah,
really,
awakening of Chris,
yes.
Middleton.
So he needs to find a way to get the other guys involved, because, you know, Giannis can't do it alone.
For sure.
They can't make a lot of changes to the roster because they're pretty much stuck with what they have right mm-hmm. now. I don't know who's available that's going to come to Milwaukee, because it's not really a free agent destination.
Not
you wouldn't want to go to Wisconsin?
No, not in winter time. No. But then again, I moved to Canada from Texas, so clearly I should be a free agent.
Yeah,
I'm excited for who the Raptors are going to take. I feel like internally this could be, because Raptors have a really good group of assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They're proven. And, you know, I'm slightly rooting for Jerry Stackhouse if that ever ends up happening. I don't know what the rumors are. I haven't read up on it.
I think that's the current odds.
I believe they're talking about hiring internally, but, you know, I feel like Masai has found these players and, you know, people just out of nowhere before. And I feel like he's going to find somebody who we never really even heard about, or in terms of, you know, we're seeing everybody, like Kenny Smith has an interview with the Knicks, and we're seeing all these things happening. I feel like Masai might go, you know, just out of the box and find somebody that may fit this.
I'm excited to see what they're going to do, because this was the big move, right? Firing the guy to find somebody who's a tactician, mm-hmm. who's going to make in-game changes. Because Raptors, historically, I don't know, I checked some data. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it was something like Raptors' inbound plays were historically bad.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't execute at all, or mm-hmm. the play wasn't drawn up right. I don't know what it was. And that contributed in KC being let go, because he couldn't adapt to the league.
Yeah.
All kudos to him. Generally, as a non-biased fan, I would say that he was good enough to take the Raptors to where they are now. 7 years is obviously a very long time to be a coach. I'm going to wrap it up by saying that I'm excited as to who they're going to get. Because that guy might be able to get more out of this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think the Raptors are stuck with this, right? This roster.
Yeah, this
not
is
not going anywhere.
They're stuck like this, and that's their window, right?
I trust in Masai.
So. Who do you think Detroit's going to get?
That's interesting.
Any guesses?
I don't really have any like front runners in my brain right now, but I'm interested because we've spoken at length about this before that we all decided that the GM coach combined position doesn't work. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see now that they are saddled with Blake's contract and kind of, you know, unknowingly settled into this sort of fringe playoff team. Like how can they improve internally, because their old vision didn't work.
I mean, they are stuck with that Blake contract, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, so there's been some coaching changes, obviously, with Orlando, Detroit. Suns have a new coach. The Hawks have a new coach. So all these teams that are developing, quote-unquote, we're going to see how these young coaches are you know, going to help them get there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that new phase of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any final thoughts on the coaching positions or...
How about we talk about some of the guys that got hired? And
okay.
This, I mean, look at I think Kokoschkov might be a good fit. And we haven't seen him doing much head coaching in the NBA, but he did win EuroBasket with Luka Doncic, and that may just be their draft pick, right?
Yeah, these guys coming in have good resumes. I mean, you know, Spurs assistants are always
hot commodity.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
and they're looked at it in a way where it's like, you know, they will help develop guys, and that's the main focus
here. It's not, and it isn't just branding. There is a professionalism and an eye for detail that is actually credible, and it isn't just, you know.
How do you guys feel about possibly Messina as head coach for the Raptors?
No, he's staying. I think he's taking
over the reins for Pop.
Yeah, I think that's the discussion.
The ultimate goal. Yeah.
Let's get Becky Hammon on the Raptors. How about that?
I was saying that.
Yeah,
I'm down for that. Sure.
But, I mean, give her a trial for a year if it fails. But Raptors fans are going to be out for blood if it doesn't work out. Because, I mean, y'all are passionate people. Jesus.
We just might be, man.
Passionate people.
We're passionately very sad right now.
Hey, let's move on to happier things. Let's play a game, all right?
Okay.
It's time for What's Weirder.
Yes.
Kevin, tell us what it's all about.
It's my favorite time of day. All right, so what's weirder? This is where we pick out three different topics that we find particularly weird and funky around the league, and just go into a little quick dive on these topics.
All right, so what's up first?
What's on the menu? Number one, we got LeBron James. He can remember every single play on the court. Can't remember his teammate's name.
We came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson.
What do you think that's all about? Do you really think it's true that he doesn't care about them at all? And he's already got one foot out of the door.
What's the name that he said?
Jordan Crawford.
And who dunked on him?
Jordan Crawford.
Okay, so I...
But you know what? There's no video of it, so did it really happen?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. Nike got rid of that.
Yes.
So...
Yes. Poof. It's like Illuminati.
Yeah.
Never happened.
All right, what's next?
We also have the Hamptons Five.
What's that?
It's a very elite club. It's a very elite group of people.
AKA the death lineup. But they want to go with the Hamptons Five, which I believe Draymond just trademarked today.
You think they all come in like polos and ties and stuff?
No,
like, do they ever?
They're not the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I know. Those are just like really, really suited up. But I'm talking about Hampton is more of a
classy, like
beach vibe. Chill
vibe. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they all come dressed as the Hampton Five together in the Bay Area in the next game. I would see that. I would want to see that.
I think
that's interesting.
Corny. I don't. That's just me.
Hey,
I
think they're already going with it, so might as well go all out, right? You're not gonna half-ass something.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. You know what? It beats calling every game a funeral game and then not actually making it a funeral game.
I love how you reference that. That's, if you know Richard, he always brings that up.
It was a good time
in the world. So what do we have at number three?
Last but not least, we got the weird Instagram, Twitter, social media saga going on. We got Schroeder unfollowing the Hawks, DeMarcus Cousins unfollowing the Pelicans, immediately following Paul George and Julius Randle after that.
Are we reading too much into this? Are we reading too much into what they're doing? Or somebody should take their phones away. Like, what is the right course of action?
Hey, man, DeMarcus Cousins is grown. He could do what he wants.
I think they take it too seriously. I think they're all in their heads about it and like, oh, I'm gonna send the Pelicans a message and unfollow them. And the GM is like, I don't care.
are they just messing with us? Like, they just figured out a way to mess with everybody. So they're like, we're going to unfollow people just to see what people say. Like, they're trolling us right now. And yeah. Getting us to talk about
it. The fact that we're talking about it right now just backs your point up there.
So. Yep. We got nothing better to talk about
my
Instagram and Twitter.
My side note, though, is Paul George are officially a Laker now? Does following him instantly mean you're a Laker?
I think so. I think Paul George is he's halfway there. So,
can you go fishing in LA?
Absolutely. He's got the entire Pacific Ocean at his beckon and needs.
It's better to fish in Oklahoma than it is in, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, I think the weirdest out of those three is LeBron James detailing like 4 minutes of play but forgetting his teammate's name. That's what I think.
I'm not a big fan of the Hamptons Five. I think it sounds weird. How about you?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to double down on the Hamptons 5 thing. That's just weird. It's so strange. Like, stop giving yourself nicknames, man.
That's true. That's
I hate it when people do
that. The rule of nicknames is, yes, you can't give yourself the nickname.
And it's corny.
I mean, they can't be the Ritz-Carlton 5? Like, they couldn't afford that? Come on, guys. You guys make a lot
of
money.
It's a different kind of vibe.
Hey, you know what? If you're going to do something, do it 100%. So, we want them to dress up.
Okay.
What is that, like Kevin Durant's shooting percentages?
Oh, bazinga.
Now, talking about that, let's talk about the series we got going on.
Let's talk about the games.
Let's talk about playoffs.
The playoffs?
Playoffs.
The playoffs.
So, what is the more interesting series out of this? In terms of watchability, in terms of the result at the end, what is a more interesting matchup?
I'd like to say, you know, just the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors, just the fact that they have such elite offensive talent all on the floor at the same time doing their thing. I think that's got to be the more interesting series than the handicapped Celtics here.
Wow, is that a real nickname?
I'm going to say the opposite, because I stated on this podcast going in that the Celtics were pretty much playing with house money for the rest of the playoffs, because they, you know, you're writing off everyone because of injuries, and here they are taking two games from LeBron, which, you know, unfortunately the Raptors weren't able to do. So it's
too soon.
I mentally prepared. I prepared myself to say good things about the Celtics, and you know, here they are showing what team defense can do for you.
So. I feel like Al Horford is babysitting all these guys. He's like the dad in this scenario.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's Dad. Yeah. Dad Stevens on the sideline.
Yeah, he's like, Tatum, shoot. And I don't know. I feel like Boston is an anomaly. Can't figure them out. I don't know what it is. They keep winning. Their coach is awesome.
They're playing great. They're playing great basketball.
Marcus Smart is shooting terribly, but they still win, and he still keeps shooting.
What else is new?
Yeah, that's been the subject for a while now.
Scary Terry.
Is scary.
That guy plays solid defense.
Aaron Baines is hitting like three-pointers. I don't know. This is a strange team.
Yeah.
They aren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be here.
But sometimes that's like, that's the,
yeah,
the
it's
thing,
like, you know,
that gets
you.
Like,
nobody believed in us. We're here.
Yeah, but not in the way that they used to do it.
Yeah,
It's like they're not talking about it. They're just doing it.
Yeah, because you know what? They're not flashy. They just go out and perform.
Yeah.
As a Mavericks fan, you should know about, you know, being the underdog in every series. And that's what the Celtics team is. And they're up 2-0 right now on Cleveland. It's amazing.
LeBron can come back, though. You know, this is not a hot take, but when I was looking up statistics, LeBron's done it twice. Mm-hmm. When he's been down 2-0, more than any other player, he's come back to win it. So maybe he wills himself into a game 7. I can see that happening.
Celtics, the Celtics players, they're not that efficient on the road. They play amazing at home. That's a great home crowd. They're undefeated currently right now in the playoffs at home. But as we've seen, you know, on the road, they're not the same. And I think the series really starts game 3.
Yeah, I think he's got a good point.
because Celtics are considerably worse team than, you know,
on the road. Yeah, and the Q is like a notoriously hard place to play.
Well, so is every arena.
I mean, if you're a Raptors fan, yeah. So.
It's a playoff analysis.
That's a sad laugh.
Okay, Houston, Golden State. Let's get out of the Eastern Conference.
Talk about a tough arena to play in. When the Warriors stole one game.
It's got to be tough when nobody shows up, right?
That's very true. I called Warriors in five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't normally like to make predictions, but I think they are a far superior team. It's hard to beat the Warriors 4 out of 7. It really is.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because of the firepower they have. They have literally everything that Houston doesn't.
I think they did what they came out to do and stole one on the road. And I think now they're headed back home. And
I'm just going to take care of business kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. They're one of, if you look at their record at home over the last 3 years, they're the number one team. So I really do not doubt them. Especially
I don't believe in CP3. I just don't believe in him coming up clutch.
That's interesting. I want to hear more of this.
Even in the game that they won last time, you know, he got injured. He was holding his leg.
Yeah.
I think he was exceptionally clutch in game, what was that, 6 against Utah or 5?
Yeah.
5, sorry. Game 5.
This is a different animal. The Warriors are a different animal.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have an off game against them.
Yeah.
No, you got the margin of error.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember in game 1, the game was tied at, I remember this, like at 70-70 or 73-70.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a 35-second window where they turned the ball over twice and Warriors are up by 8. So the margin of error is so tiny when it comes to the Rockets making any mistakes that the Warriors is just that good.
Mm-hmm.
You have no room for error. Even last game, I feel like if Curry even is remotely as good as he was in the regular season before his injury, they have no chance.
Of course.
I mean, he's shooting 13.7%. He's not going to keep doing that the entire series. I don't think so. I think he wakes up in game 3. That's just what I'm seeing. And Aaron Harden's dribbling way too much. Do you see his dribble numbers?
That's what he does.
It's the same. It's more, actually. It's more
he's
than
dribbling
the starting.
More than the regular season.
See, the thing with Harden, though, his dribbling kind of gets him into that rhythm. And I think it kind of like powers him up in a sense. So I don't.
The Warriors are happy with Harden getting 40. They still can't beat them. And you know what? PJ Tucker had a great game.
Well,
game
all the role players had a great game.
Yeah, Luka Bambute can. He's been shooting really bad, but he can have a good game. So
mm-hmm.
The role players are stepping up.
Yeah,
Houston has a really and historically great offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Like number wise, it's probably the best offensive team we've ever had in the league. So. Even that is not good enough to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. It's just what I think. I want this to be a game 7 series, though, because I feel like this is the real NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag that. That's what I would say, too. This is the real NBA Finals.
Okay.
The Celtics are just not going to put up a good fight against the Warriors.
Hey, we said that about them going against the Cavs,
no,
too.
No, I don't know.
And the Bucks.
Well, the Bucks.
If they come out and beat the Warriors in the Finals... Man, I don't know. I'm just going to say it on the ball. I'll get a Celtics tattoo.
No.
That's the... It's not...
Your face.
I'm setting myself up for this, but...
Your face.
I don't know if you're serious about this.
You can quote me on it.
Okay. You know, it'd be really funny. I don't know. I just... I really... Nobody's really shown me anything to make me believe that the Warriors are beatable.
Yeah, because all the things that contribute to Houston's victory is, like, internal, like Steph has to
There's no parity
like,
in the league. Houston tried to come close, kudos, but they're going to fall short.
I think what the Raptors sweep has taught me is that the parity is everywhere below 4. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the like the top teams will be the top teams and everyone else right now.
Upper echelon?
Yeah.
It's upper echelon.
Oh, you're right, actually. Those are the top 4 teams in the league that remain, right?
Just imagine this. If Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving were on the floor, this is an insane team. Like, just imagine Boston and Philly in 3 years. Like, Raptors' window is gone. I'm sorry. It's over.
No, for sure.
They had their chance and they missed on it. I don't know, man. I'm not looking very hopeful when it comes to this.
They were one JV tipping away from.
Oh, you're also going to get Celtics tattoo, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think the Celtics are winning the finals? They're
All right. Well, on that note of ridiculousness, we're going to wrap this up.
All right, everybody. So that'll be it for this week's edition of Back to the Basket. And just so you remember, we may turn our backs on the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. Feel free to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, like Google Play or iTunes. And feel free to hit us up on Twitter at B2TheBPodcast or our email in the show notes for any of your questions. All right, see you next week.